go. No, not coming back, but it's, I mean, they're lying. I'm just like the bad flies. I mean, she's getting a lot better. She's young enough that she stuck 3 batters out in 1 inning, but the first one went to the dugout. The second one, the catcher, she walked the batter in the corner. The runner was on fire. The catcher hit the ball up. And,
good evening, and welcome to the April 2023 meeting of the Faulkner County Quorum Court. Stand if you would with me, and Justice Johnny Tyler is going to lead us in opening prayer and pledge of allegiance.
Thank you, Judge. So, Father God, we just come to you tonight. We just want to be led by you, Father. We just want to make wise decisions like your son did, Father. I just pray that you be in this room tonight and guide us, Father. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. All right, call the roll, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Here.
Boyer.
Present.
Coates.
Present.
Grady. Kendricks.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Lahosky.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Schock.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
We have 11. I mean 12. I'm sorry. I can't count tonight.
All right. I believe you have the minutes in your packet. What's the pleasure? Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Your Honor, if I may, I think we need to make a motion to amend on page 2. In the announcements, it states Roden Hill Bridge completion. I believe that should be Roden Mill Road Bridge.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That was a motion. Second. And for discussion, we have a correction. Roden Mill Bridge was listed as Roden Hill Road Bridge, and it should be Roden Mill.
Who made the second?
Chris
Dixon. Chris Dixon. Sorry, I couldn't hear when he made the announcement last week.
Any other additions or corrections? All right, all in favor of approving the minutes as presented and amended, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes will be approved as amended. Officers' reports. Margaret?
My reports are in the book, and I'll entertain any questions if anyone has any.
Any questions for our county clerk? Seeing none, Mr. Treasurer.
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn with me to summary of statements of quorum court, January 1st, 2023 through March 31st, 2023. County General Fund 1,000, $3,294,837.25. County Road Fund 2,000, $4,267,103.29. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $2,646,898.26. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,477,972.43. Criminal Justice Fund 3407, $2,483,472.35. Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, $1,044,217.16. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $23,121,165.91. If you'll turn with me to page 2, this is County General Revenue. Notice that we are still below 2022 revenue. This is a cash flow issue. Those monies will be coming in April that typically come in March. Not concerned about it one bit. We know where we are and where we need to be. It looks low, but it should be up there in April. If we're not, then we'll start talking about concerns. But feel good about that. On page 3, sales tax total is $1,067,786.55. That is 9.34% above the 2022 total. And we are currently running at 3.96 year-to-date versus 2022. On page four, you will see we're currently 27% of our projected $13 million projected revenue for sales tax. As you know, through the first 3 months is one quarter through the year, so we are ahead of schedule there. And finally, on the last page is the sales tax revenue chart. You can see the blue line, the three-month moving average has once again jumped above the one-year moving average. The big trend this month is the one-year moving average has started trending back up. Feel very good about those numbers and what we're seeing there. Are there any questions on any of the reports that I can answer for anyone? Thank you, Judge.
Yes, thank you. So thank you for your characterization of those numbers. It's easy for us who don't deal with those numbers every day like you do to fail to see the big picture. And I know everybody else does, appreciate your kind of dumbing it down to people like me who don't deal with those numbers every day and track those as compared to previous years. So thank you for that. Moving right along for our sheriff's report, Chief Chad Woolley.
Good afternoon. For March stats for the sheriff's office, unit one average count was 166 with a capacity of 118. Our unit two male head count was 163 with a capacity of 218. Unit two female capacity was 87 with a capacity of 88. Our juvenile here at Unit 1, we had 12 with a capacity of 16. We had 500 inmate intakes, 497 releases. As you see, 44, average 44 ADC inmates housed. Constantly working on trying to get those out, working with the state to get them out. Total number of all calls dispatched, 2,511. To the sheriff's office alone, was 1,952. 59 violent crimes domestics, 58 special criminal mischief, 107 animal crimes, 16 animal violations, one animal warrant issue. Criminal investigation division opened, they were assigned 83 cases, closed 15. Our transport division made 88 total trips for a total miles of 6,432. That's all I got for now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Any questions for Chief Wolf? Thank you for that report, a lot of information there, and I know that it takes time to compile that, and I appreciate it. I know everybody else does, certainly the court does, so thank you, Chief. Any other officers' reports, county officers' reports? Moving right along, standing committee reports. Let's go with the budget committee first.
Judge, budget and finance met last week in a very short meeting and considered ordinance 23-11, and it is on your agenda tonight.
Thank you, Justice Lahosky. Personnel committee.
Judge, personnel did not meet this month and we don't have any ordinances for the court.
Thank you, Justice Kendrick. Courts and public safety.
Thank you, Judge. We did have a Courts and Public Safety Committee meeting this last week. It was a long meeting, if any of you guys were here. It was more informationally based. We did not bring forth any ordinances for the court tonight. We did discuss crypto mining more of in a public setting, trying to answer some questions and put some of the rumors to rest. We also had a discussion about the ARP funds, and Judge Johnson filled us in a little bit of what was going on with all of that. I also brought forth animal control plan that I hope to bring in before the court next month in more detail.
Thank you very much. Yes, a lot of ground covered there. Not only at that meeting, but I know that you put a lot of time into it personally, which I appreciate. I know everyone else does too, in the audience and beyond. Certainly our core board. How about the infrastructure committee?
Yes, Your Honor. Infrastructure has not met this month, but we do anticipate a lot more information coming in as the weather has improved drastically for paving and construction going forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And of course, there will be a road report that will have quite a bit of information on that. And we know going forward, the infrastructure committee will have have issues, one about, one of which will be discussed tonight. So, the infrastructure committee will have its time on the sign for sure. All right. Any more committee reports? I think that's it. Any public comments on any item on the agenda tonight? Seeing none, moving along. Any special reports? Seeing none, moving along to old business. Any old business come before the court today? This evening. Seeing none, we'll move on to new business. What's your pleasure?
Judge, I move that proposed ordinance 23-11 be considered.
Second.
Motion and second. Counselor?
Judge?
Justice Boyer?
Excuse me. We're talking about proposed ordinance 23-11, that's correct?
Yes.
Do we have two ordinance under the same number, 23-11?
I recycled the number. It was pulled, and I recycled the number. So if it comes back, it'll have to have a new number, the other one.
Which one?
The one that you're talking about. So I just recycled the number. I told it was pulled and not going to run. So I recycled it to keep my numbers in order.
The original 23-11 has been pulled?
It was pulled last month.
My understanding, that's still in committee, right? It hasn't been brought before the full court?
Yes, sir. That's still in committee. So I think when Budget and Finance is ready to hear it, we'll make sure that a unique number is attached to it and it can be heard in Budget and Finance.
Anything further? Anything further?
Thank you. That's all.
All right, motion second. Do we have a reading?
Proposed ordinance 23-11, sponsored by Budget Finance, being enacted by the Coram Court, County of Fulton, State of Arkansas. An ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Fulton County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 20, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
All right, we have a motion second and a reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, it's an appropriation ordinance. Call the vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady. Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
12-4.
Motion carries and the ordinance passes unanimously. Seeing no more new business, we move to appointments. There are none this month. We'll see. We've had a few questions. Are there any appointments? I see that on the agenda. There are none this month. It's kind of just a placeholder for each monthly meeting. So no appointments to be made or confirmed this month. Moving along, announcements. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. And it is a big property. And as you know, the grass is starting to grow. So we just really appreciate Deputy Billy Kelly for all that he does. He does a lot with He's our code, don't let me chief give him wrong title, he's our code enforcement deputy and really jack of all trades and makes use of the sheriff's department's 309s prison. And they do a great job. I can't say enough good things about Dylan Kelly, Deputy Kelly. So thank you for bringing that up. So further announcements, I'll be having an ARP announcement myself, but as Tom Anderson, our ARP administrator, points out, he's got really a couple reports to give, the ARP report and the road report. So I skipped right along, and so I think it's appropriate to give those here during the announcements. So go ahead, Tom.
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn to your ARP reports, I'll call your attention to a few changes I've made to the reporting. You'll notice the bar graph on the right on the first page, there's three green ones. When you see green, just so the ease of looking through it, that means that project is complete. If it's in the yellow, orangish color, that means it's still under progress. Also, if you notice on the first, under coroner's office, a new change I've made, I included the line item expense since the last report. So since I've reported to you last time, that's how much has been spent on that project. And if you will go to the end of the report, I included that line item on the overall amount as well. So I totaled that up for you on the total expenses since last report. Since I reported to you last, there have been three projects that have gone to bid, Damascus Waterline Extension, Guy Water Grow Lane, and then the Wooster Wastewater Project. They had a bid yesterday for some pipe. Unless you have any questions, on the ARP projects, that's all I have for your report on the ARP projects.
Any questions on the ARP report or the projects?
All right, if you'll turn to your road report, the first is asphalt overlay since the last report in March. We've only done 1.68 miles. The reason being is the weather's held us back on that. The weather's also been an issue at Middle Road. If you recall, that's our partnership with Conway, the city of. It's about 90% complete. The bridge itself is done. They're just doing the dirt work now, and that's what's being held up, is the dirt work, and that's because of the weather. It should have been completed about this time, but they expect mid-May for a completion now. Roden Mill is finally complete and off the books. This will be the last time we talk about that because that construction project has been completed. We finished it with our striping and guardrails last month. Saltillo Road, we're still planning south of 8 Mile Store to have those bids 1st of May and then start after school's out to do that project. They started the boring already for the relocation of the water line on that, just so we'll be ready to go as soon as the school lets out. Intersection work, you're familiar with the stoplight project on Scott Hollow and 286. We have opted for a curb and gutter option to avoid right-of-way acquisition on that. And we've also applied and feel pretty good about our chances of getting $1 million intersection safety grant for that project. And the Arkansas Department of Transportation will have to approve that proposal before we can move forward. Also, the Worcester Roundabout project is still in the conceptual design. Some miscellaneous items, I'll hit the last one first. As Judge Dotson said a while ago, the grass is starting to grow, so our mowing operation is about in full gear. If not, it'll be soon, the next week or so. The parking lot, if you'll notice here at the courthouse, we have painted the stop blocks there, and we have cut in the overlay, or not the overlay, the seal coat, and also filled the cracks with seal coat. That completion should be done this weekend if the weather holds. So we'll close it down Saturday and Sunday. If anybody here parks on the weekend in the parking lot, remember to leave your car somewhere else this weekend. Subject to any questions, that concludes all my reports. Yes, ma'am.
while I was backed up at Brewster four-way stop the other morning, it came to my mind, I was curious what the timetable for the roundabout would be.
It's still in conceptual design, and part of that, they're looking for monies to complete it. I think it's about a $3.5 million estimated project, so that's still up in the air right now. As soon as that's settled, then it'll go to bid, and you'll have a better time frame for when it will. We had a meeting with the mayors the other day, and I think both the Greenbrier mayor and the Wooster mayor noted several new subdivisions that are going to be built with several hundred homes in those, which will even exacerbate that problem more.
Okay,
so that's a needed project. Yes. Anybody else?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a couple points of clarification. Thank you for that question on the Wooster roundabout. That roundabout, if you like me, the first time you heard about a roundabout in Wooster, I'm thinking, well, we have roundabouts. We're looks like we're trying to cover the four corners of the county. But if you're like me, you're a little bit skeptical of the roundabouts, you know, early on as a concept, and you've probably grown to appreciate them. They seem to work. They seem to be fewer accidents, seem to be safer. And I really do think that it moves traffic quicker. So I yield to the engineers and their data on that. But as I became more and more familiar with that project in Wooster, two state highways, so it's a state roundabout. And it really, if you know anyone who lives near Greenbrier, they are more than likely not using Highway 65 to get to Conway unless they just need to. And so the Wooster roundabout is a very complex issue with benefits everywhere, and we are in the process of illustrating all of those benefits, not only for today, but the future. And there are, I don't want to steal the mayor's thunder on this, but Mayor Robinson, Mayor Hartwick are quick to point out they've identified, I won't give the number, but it's a big number in the many hundreds of lots that can currently be identified that are either already platted or planned to be platted by the landowners. And so if you spend any time on Highway 65, it took me 30 minutes today to get from my office to the Greenbrier Community Center. And if that's an issue today, just as a local noted developer here named Al Crafton will tell you, they started to tell me wait 20 years, but he says wait 10 years and you're not going to recognize that area. There are going to be so many houses. It's just beautiful up there. It's development friendly. There are a lot of areas all around the county to be developed, and that is one of them. And so as I look at, we have an honored guest here today, Mayor Terry Williams, Guy, Arkansas. Raise your hand, please. Thank you for joining us. We sure appreciate that you've joined us tonight. And we'll talk a little bit about ARP. We're not wrapping up ARP tonight, but I'll have an announcement here in just a second. But I wanted to take a few minutes to expand on the answer to your question, Justice Coates, about the Wooster roundabout. We're working with RDOT to approve not only the concept but share funding. And we're having productive discussions there. It's kind of working through its natural course there. It's a big intersection, two state highways. Those don't happen overnight. We're working and pushing on that. But more broadly, we have a huge focus on future traffic needs, Justice Knight, in this county. And we have begun work on that in parallel with all of the other things that we're working on. I appreciate staff for the work they put in. They've been asked to do a lot, and they don't ever balk. But I can assure you, we are busy. I counted today. I had 64 meetings scheduled on my calendar in the last 30 days. So, I mean, we're working on a lot of stuff. I'm pleased that we're not really delaying anything. We're somehow finding magic during the day and figuring out ways to make progress on these. We've got a lot of projects going. Several of them will be more public as we go in the near term. So with that, I'll move along to an ARP announcement that we've kind of been working on for, I guess, 4 months now. Tom Anderson was frantically over there telling me, don't forget the ARP report. you know, he hadn't given the ARP report, and I'm thinking, well, he's talking about my ARP announcement of some figures that I want to give the court tonight. And so you should have a handout. If we give it a handout yet, go ahead and get those out. While those are being handed out, I will just kind of set the table. I prepared a statement very carefully. But with regard to ARP, regarding the $24 million of ARP funding provided to Faulkner County, the county has thus far allocated $13 million to various third-party needs across the county so far. And all of those are worthy projects. They received due diligence upon due diligence, and they continue to work through even requests today. However, with the remaining ARP funds, it's important to identify specific needs of Faulkner County government and Faulkner County government's responsibility and maximize the impact of the remaining ARP funds. In particular, the remaining encumbered funds and the remaining unencumbered funds. And tonight I'm focused primarily on the unencumbered funds, and for your review, that is $10 million. And I apologize if you get lost in some of these terms, but I'll try to describe it in a way that you can understand if you don't deal with it every day like my administration does and the court does. So of the $10 million, we have identified through discussions, all of you are familiar with these projects, but I've put them on paper, assigned a recommended amount to allocate to each of these. Obviously, I'm not going to be asking for a vote tonight, but I want to roll out the concept to this body for an initial, I guess, revelation and discussion of committees later. And so without further ado, the $10 million, just to summarize, and I'll just say in street language, we've come a long way with ARP funding, but at some point we have to focus on Faulkner County government's specific projects and needs. And so that's what I've tried to do tonight. And like I said, most of you on the court are familiar with these projects, but I wanted to put them on paper, assign a number to them, and talk a little bit about the logic in arriving at those numbers and the next steps. Okay? So for needs for encumbered funds, that's the $14 million. I think they have, our court has allocated $13 million or so of that $14.2 million, I think, two or three. One more need that has not been brought before the court yet and still needs to be is our volunteer fire departments. And I know that's been, their needs have been considered. And as I mentioned in the committee meetings the other night, we have, as a county, and this body has considered a number of different options to use the ARP fundings appropriately for our volunteer fire departments across the county. And there is a recognized need and desire to do that, from what I can tell, by this court. But there is a struggle on uniformly and equitably providing ARP funding to our volunteer fire departments, which go from corner to corner and corner to corner of our county. They're all different in size, in geography, in current equipment haves and have-nots, their needs. And so we challenged ourselves and my administration and the various justices along the way for coming up with a solution that would benefit all of our county through its volunteer fire departments. We spoke with fire chiefs, we've spoken with various folks in communications, and we are well along the way to making a solid recommendation for a uniform communications ARP spend to provide them with communications many of them lack. I'm talking about radios. Radios and the tower equipment, the repeaters, all of the hardware and firmware that those things operate on. And it's one thing to see that as a need, but it's another to take it from concept to firm recommendation. I know the sheriff, now JP, former Sheriff Shock, would understand completely the intricacies behind the scenes on what seems to be a simple communication with a handheld radio that your volunteer fire department. There are a number of systems across our county, whether it be city, whether it be fire, whether it be PD, you name it. So it's probably more complex than simply saying on one sheet of paper being passed out, hey, you know, let's don't forget the fire departments and we need to spend X dollars on communications. So I don't want to go into really a great deal more detail on that other than to say we have received favorable feedback from a number of stakeholders out there, and we believe this to be really a valid consideration. So I'm actually excited about it. A lot of discussions have already taken place, and I think it will benefit our county. I think it will benefit our volunteer fire departments, and I think it goes beyond the volunteer fire departments. I think it benefits our public through those services and how they work with other services that are out there, law enforcement, EMS, and so forth. So I'm excited about that. It's probably more than I intended to speak on that, but it's we're rapidly approaching a firm number on that and a firm conviction that we can do that, and that would be a good request for you guys to consider. Moving right along to the remaining category of unencumbered funds, and by the way, that volunteer fire department ARP funding suggestion is, I've got it listed there. Today is primarily about the unencumbered funds, but I wanted to formally put that in front of the full court for future consideration. We're going to continue to work on that to have something for you to consider. And we'll be proposing that, or the committee will one. But that's something that we're really excited about over the judge's administration. So moving right along, unencumbered ARP funds. This is $10 million of the $24 million allotment that the federal government gave Faulkner County in ARP funds. So $10 million. These are big projects. These are critical needs for our county. I would use that language and really not back off of it. So the exercise of identifying what all those are, beginning with a blank sheet of paper, it is really daunting. As I sit here speaking to our court tonight and members of the audience and our live stream, from a blank sheet of paper, and you're going to see progress that outlives everyone in this room or watching online. These are big projects. We didn't take them lightly, and what we have on paper here is we think a good direction, and we're eager to get you more information to begin considering these. And we work on these in parallel with all else that we're doing, and we'll continue to work on all of these to further develop the concepts into, they're in various stages of progress and development, but to give you a final package that you can vote on and consider and vote on. So without further ado, The five identified needs for allocation of the unencumbered ARP funds. I think it's important to note at the outset, the largest ARP allocation will be a detention center expansion project in some shape or form. And I think that has been discussed ad nauseum, both in quorum court meetings and committee meetings, in the hallways, the streets, social media. So we recognize that. And me and my administration have recognized really the desire on the quorum court to go in that direction. And so the task becomes, well, how much do we spend on that? How do we make that project happen? What does it look like? And in fact, the quorum court has, in previous term, actually appropriated money for an architect and for study and needs assessment of that study and concepts. So we began taking a practical look at it, a pragmatic look at it, and to really oversimplify how we got to where we are today, we looked and we said, it really comes down to two questions. How much money can we afford to spend to build it? Because that'll control really what it looks like when we build it and what it accommodates, and how much can we afford to operate ongoing when you open the doors and flip the light switch on, and the Quorum Court requires that a budget be presented that they accept and pass. And so those are giant questions. I'm not going to back away from that. I've lost sleep. I know members of my staff has. I know, Chief, you and the sheriff and your staff have already put a lot of work into that. As I look at our county administrator back there, Randy Higgins, law enforcement officer himself with Reserve Police Department Reserve Program there. He's their commander and former longtime commander here for the Sheriff's Reserve Program. So I feel really well equipped as a judge's administration to begin attacking that question. And with his expertise and our ARP administrator, Tom Anderson's expertise, we've begun discussions with the sheriff and his administration at identifying all of the above, including taking as input the information provided by the architect, Mr. Rutherford. So those are big questions, and we don't have the answers yet on those, but we're working on those really, really, really hard. We really are. It's one opportunity that we will probably never have, you know, again, to provide money. I will say the ARP money that we allocate, or you as a body allocate and appropriate for that, is not going to be enough to build it. So we're going to get some money somewhere else to build it. We know we've got a capital improvement fund. We know that provides revenue year over year. We know how much we can borrow. We know we have a maximum of 5 years borrowing that Amendment 78 allows us to borrow with. And so at the end of the day, you can figure the maximum amount of money available to build the facility or facilities. And then you back off from there, if necessary, on how much can we afford to operate when we put the light switch on, and how can we avoid in 3 years a serious financial problem. You figure you could get by year one, if it costs more to run than you thought. Hopefully we have enough ability to absorb that as a county. We don't find ourselves in dire financial straits. What we need to do is avoid doing that. I think we lived through difficulties when we built the Justice Building in 2013 and 14 of building a much bigger facility without providing for a budget to operate a bigger facility. We have more people, more security, we have more maintenance, you have more lights, you have more supplies, and you have more breakdowns and maintenance. So with that being said, these are all issues that we have to answer. I'm happy to lead that effort from the judge's administration side, and I know the sheriff, Chief Woolley here tonight, are eager to work with us to find answers to those. I will say this, no matter what we do, I think the idea of building it in a scalable way to accommodate future growth is a threshold issue we need to provide for. We do need to include modern concepts for detention that allow you to monitor more detainees with fewer sheriff's department resources and use fewer utilities and so forth. So. And we recognize the need to provide more than just two levels of security. We have minimum security and maximum security. And so if we provide medium security, then everybody who rises above the need for minimum security doesn't have to be put in maximum security. And so these are, while probably boring to former Sheriff Schock, the rest of us have to come to grips with understanding so that we can design and build and operate a facility successfully. And so I think I've covered everything that I intended. Randy, I'll ask you. Tom, I'll ask you. Is there anything else that we needed to cover? There'll be much more discussion. This is an initial tossing the concept out there. Actually, I guess I should mention the dollar amounts. 911 PSAP consolidation. Actually, I don't think I even read all five of these. I assume you've been reading as I opened with my monologue. 911 PSAP consolidation is mandatory. We have to do that. And so we're tasked with figuring out how much money do we have to pay up front to make that happen. PSAP is a 911 PSAP is a 911 public service answering point. And we've had multiple in this county. Other counties have had multiple varying numbers of PSAPs. And the state recognized there was waste associated with that. And they've gone to force consolidation over a number of years. And it's probably a good idea, but it's not going to be painless. And so we've worked with the county, prior to my time here, has worked extensively with all of our jurisdictions to develop that concept. And it is, I would say, 90% there. And I'll be looking forward to maybe having some more in-depth discussion on that. But we know we've got to pay money up front, and we know that the initial transition may span 2, 3, 5 years before the HR impact fully smooths out. I mean, if you're consolidating employees from varying jurisdictions into one organization, how do you make that happen? And what do you do from an HR standpoint? So 911 PSAP consolidation has to be on this list. $1 million. So that may change up or down. Any of these may change up or down, but that is our best guess at what an appropriate amount of ARP unencumbered fund set aside should be. The courthouse and the justice building, we've addressed Mr. Higgins, who has a security and a security system background, extensive career with that, has led our efforts to address current needs for security over at the justice building. Everything from cameras to servers to power units to, you name it, the location of camera systems. And that's about as in-depth as I would go in that, other than to say it's been there for 10 years or so, it needed some attention, and we're doing that. And it's appropriate to use ARP funds to meet those needs, absolute needs. Okay, so the courthouse itself, everything from these beautiful architectural windows, there are 5 of them on the front, 5 of them on the back. I would invite you to look at those before you leave tonight, and you can decide for yourself how much it would cost to refurbish those, but they need refurbishing, they need to be reglazed. And the wood on those windows and the windows that are not those 5 windows, all the other windows have wood frames, some of which have exposed wood right now with zero paint on them. And that's a bad recipe. So those need, the windows, for example, need to be addressed. We've got 2 HVAC units. One of them is keeping the air comfortable in here, that are still on R22. If you've had an R22 unit recharged lately, you understand how difficult it is and how expensive that is, because R22 is being phased out. And so we've been told the unit froze on us within the last month, and our HVAC contractor said, you're going to have to get serious about replacing these. He said, I'm getting to the point where I can't get R22 anymore. Besides that, when you get R22 and have, when you have a system with R22 charged, you look at the invoice and you realize it's time to move to something where I'm not throwing money at us. I see folks nodding their head yes. And so anyway, that, a few other issues. This is not an all-inclusive list, but any of you who have worked in this building before would agree with, I'm sure. The water and plumbing deterioration, I invite you to use that restroom back there, and you'll see one obvious need. Quorum court room. We are sitting in Judge Clausen's former courtroom. And we're making it work as a quorum court meeting room, but it's not purpose designed for quorum court. So we probably ought to put some attention toward that, so that you're meeting with more appropriate furniture and not folding tables. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So various needs there. I won't go into that anymore. Number 3, river levee protection. Anybody who lived here in 2019 understands that. So we have to address that. We don't know for certain how much local match that would involve, but it's going to be a lot. And so our best and most educated guess right now of that is $1 million in ARP funding. We would hope that'd be less, but we can't guarantee that it won't be more at this point. Still early. Animal shelter, $1 million to $1.5 million. If you were at the Courts and Public Safety Committee meeting the other night, you heard Justice Coates go into great detail. I won't recount all of that. It's been a long arduous path to get where we are. And I wish we had the thing up and running right now, but we're not far away from making significant progress. I won't belabor that. I would invite you to come to the next Courts and Public Safety Committee meeting if you'd like a more in-depth, I guess, explanation of where we're at with that. But we're headed in a good direction. We've come from several million in cost estimate down to, I'd say, a max of $1.5 million. We're going to work really hard to get below that, because the goal is to make those refits of that facility in Spring Hill with ARP funding, so that we can set aside or give to that facility all of the volunteer tax money that it has raised thus far as operating capital, develop the board to which a director would report, and give them very clear instructions to figure out how to operate without additional county monies before that seed money is depleted. And we figure they can run for several years on that. And that's probably enough detail on that. I'm not sure we need to spend any more time on that tonight. We've discussed that quite a bit. And then lastly, but not in terms of priority, detention facility. If you take $10 million and net down what's left, there's $5.5 million there. It's going to take more to build that facility than $5.5 million. We recognize that. But the logic in arriving at that number is start by what you know you need to spend and give all the rest to the detention center project, knowing that you're obviously going to have to add some with that no matter what you do. So the goal there is to get as much of the ARP money dedicated to that detention facility project. And like I said, that'll be by far the biggest expenditure for ARP funds. We look forward to continuing that. I will say, if you look on the back side of the sheet that I passed out, or we passed out to you, nothing is off the table, including paradigm shifting concepts, including let's move. And you know, we've got two detention facilities. For those of you who don't know, Unit 1 is right here beside the courthouse and sheriff's office. We call that Unit 1, maximum security. And then we've got Unit 2, the large minimum security facility over behind the Justice Building off German Lane, South German. Well, it makes sense. You might be able to save money if you get them in one spot. So do we move Unit 1 from here to that location, build a facility that would house that and provide some expansion? Well, that's worth a look for sure, because the sheriff is having to manage facilities in two spots, having to transport folks, having to deal with warrants and serving warrants and a whole host of issues with having multiple facilities. That may not be where we head, or at least initially, but it might would be, but it deserves a look. And I think you include in that sheriff's office. You know, if you got the sheriff's office at one spot, you got detention in another spot, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So nothing is off the table at this point in the discussion. So with that, I think that covers it all. I would open up again, this is just announcements, but I know that you guys have been looking forward to some hard numbers and estimates. And so I really wanted to get you a piece of paper in your hand that you could take away from here and begin considering and developing your own thoughts. So with that, I will take questions if anyone has any. And again, I know this is going to be a matter of discussion for many, many hours, but we've got to start somewhere. This is a good start. Really proud of our staff. I want to thank Tom. I want to thank Randy, Phil. I see over there the entire staff, Chief, Sheila and Jimmy, Ms. Clausen, thank you for your help. As I look around the room, a lot of input on these projects. So, any questions on that tonight?
Judge, I just want to say thank you for this, for not leaving us to guess and and try to just wonder what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. I like this, and I like seeing it, and look forward to moving forward with it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I just appreciate the staff, the amount of work that went into this one page. But I point out to you, it's not over. And the decisions that you make as our Quorum Court, you happen to be here when these decisions are being made. These are going to be projects that outlive all of us. Each one of these five projects for the $10 million in unencumbered funds are going to mean a lot to Faulkner County, all of our children and grandchildren. These are big issues. They're not easy questions. So I appreciate your consideration for that. Are there any further questions on that? All right, I have one announcement. I'm going to have to read this. Mary Beth Gross is our extension agent. She's in our audience. Raise your hand. All right, so I got an email from Mary Beth, and she said, Judge Dyson, I want to share some exciting news with you, and I'm just reading it. Krista Quinn, Faulkner County Extension Horticulture Agent, won two awards for her efforts in programming. First, Arkansas County Agriculture Agents Association 2023 Search for Excellence in Commercial and Consumer Horticulture. And secondly, Arkansas County Agriculture Agents Association 2023 Search for Excellence in Environmental Quality, Forestry, and Natural Resources. We are so proud to have Krista as our horticulture agent here in Faulkner County and wanted to share her accolades with you. I would echo that and say she has already been a great resource for us here right on this campus complex with our trees. We have some challenges here with a few trees, and we didn't want to make a move on a tree anywhere without horticultural expertise before we just took a chainsaw to limbs and trees. We've got some that are too close to the courthouse here, and we have to protect the courthouse. So, but anyway, Mary Beth, would you like to stand and add anything to what I shared?
Yeah, no, so these are awards that you have to apply for, and it's part of our association statewide. And so only one person gets that award, and she got two of them this year, and they're only so many. So we are so proud to have Krista. She leads our Master Gardener program, so we've got some Master Gardeners in the room. And just an announcement, their plant sale is May 13th, correct? May 13th at the Expo Center this year. And so that's their main fundraiser for the year. And out of that comes several scholarships for students going to college. So, yeah, thank you, Judge.
Yeah, big program. The plant sale and all the records. But the extension is a huge program. Most of our citizens don't avail themselves of. I'm amazed every time I'm exposed to what all they're doing over there. And if you have an opportunity to interact with them, or you hear about their programs, and they have programs all the time. They send me a list monthly of all the events that are happening. And I don't know how they keep up with it. Thank you for your leadership. And please pass along congratulations from everyone here tonight. Thank you. Judge Coates?
I have one more announcement. This past weekend, I was fortunate enough to be invited by our commander, Brian Tyner, and our Sheriff's Reserve deputies, and I rode along with him while they did sex offender compliance. My eyes were opened, I will say that. So I want to thank them for that information that they passed along. And I encourage my other justices to reach out to them if that's something you're interested in. I didn't even know that was something that our reserve unit conducted, and it was quite interesting to see how it all played out.
It is eye-opening. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. We appreciate their service. They put themselves, our law enforcement put themselves in harm's way to protect us every day. And here they sit among us as though they're a normal citizen out here, and we sit next to them. I just express my appreciation for what it is that you do, Chief. Everyone in your organization, including the reserves, we thank you for that. Thank you, Justice Coach. Justice Ellison.
Yeah, Your Honor, I wanted to make mention that last week when we were here for the committee meetings, UCA was playing the University of Arkansas in softball. They beat Arkansas for the second time this year, beat them in Fayetteville earlier this year. They beat them 4-0 down here. They had a record crowd. And UCA is now ranked number 20 in the NCAA rankings of softball. First time in history they've ever been ranked.
That is remarkable. Congratulations. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think softball ratings on television are as high or higher than basketball, men's basketball. If I'm not mistaken, I have heard that, and I believe that to be true. If you turn on ESPN, that's why you see those softball tournaments all the time. The viewership is off the charts. And for UCA to be performing like that's really, really kind of neat, because we know the late Razorbacks are legit. I mean, it's not a weak Razorback team. They're a national power. And for UCA to beat them twice, sounds to me like they ought to be ranked in the top 20. So thank you for announcing that. Any other announcements? Have we missed anything? Randy, Tom, Phil? With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Adjourn.